This episode of the Daily Observations is sponsored by Rocket Money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and save at rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. From one frying pan to another, this is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Friday, the 20th of January, 2023. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Jeff Butts, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Happy Friday to you, sir.
And also to you, but I don't want to be in a frying pan.
Well, we're going. Second part of today's show, what does one do with temperature and humidity sensors in a smart speaker? Jeff Butts is going to tell us. First, though, it has been said the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I give you Apple's plans to grow manufacturing in India. Now, I understand why Apple doesn't want to do quite as much, you know, with manufacturing in China. There are the constant tensions between the U.S. and China. Certainly, the zero COVID thing did not really stand China in good stead as far as, you know, hey, let's put all of our eggs in that basket. So, according to a piece from Bloomberg, and it looks like the South China Morning Post, it seemed to be both of them. I read it in the South China Morning Post. It said it was a Bloomberg article, but then it kept talking about the Post. So I think they kind of, you know, mixed and matched. According to the article, plans to grow manufacturing in India seem to be going well for now. Several Chinese suppliers have been given the go-ahead to expand into India. According to the report, more than a dozen of Apple's Chinese suppliers are receiving initial clearance by India to expand in the country, helping the tech giant's efforts to diversify its assembly network beyond China. Chinese suppliers are getting permission to do this. And yeah, okay. You heard it.
Yeah.
Okay. The piece says about 14 of the 17 suppliers that Apple listed as key to iPhone production have received approval. At least that is the rumor. Apple, India's technology ministry, and suppliers mentioned in the report did not respond to requests for comment. So there was a sentence in it that kind of, you know, got me thinking. According to the piece, India largely cut off Chinese companies from its tech economy after the country's troops clashed violently on their long-disputed border in 2020, which is about, you know, 800,000 years from now. In 2020, that happened. And what it got me wondering was, does manufacturing in India hinge on still getting parts from Chinese companies and peace between China and India?
That's a great question, because what purpose does it really serve to move manufacturing out of China if they're still Chinese companies and the parts they need are presumably all coming from China?
Well, no, that's the part where I messed up, I know, because that was the first thing I said. And then I realized, no, what they've gotten the go-ahead to do is not to bring in the parts from China. They've gotten the go-ahead to actually build, I think anyway, if I'm reading it correctly, they've gotten the go-ahead to build the factories that will make the components. But it's still going to be a Chinese company.
Right.
Operating in India, so that's good. I mean, some of your tension is gone there. And I guess you could also argue that, you know, the tighter the two are, the less likely they are to fight. Except that China is actually already India's largest trade partner. And they are literally occasionally killing each other on the border. The root cause, according to a great piece, by the way, in the BBC, that promised to give you all the facts you need in 400 words or less. Now, I know I don't know everything about relations between them, but it gave me enough to go, are we sure?
Right.
The root cause is an ill-defined 2,100-mile-long disputed border. It's up near the Himalayas. The two nations are competing to build infrastructure along that border, which is known as the line of actual control. It was actually India trying to build infrastructure in that area that led to a, I don't want to call it a skirmish, but you don't want to call it a battle either, led to a fight in that area in December of 2022. Last month is the last time they had a skirmish there. I apologize. So this is not recent history. This is not long ago history. This is, hey, remember last month when we were fighting right over there? Now, in 2020, there was a fight that left 24 people dead. And here's something gruesome. That was without guns.
What?
Because apparently they accused each other in September of 2021 of firing guns near each other, over each other's heads, into the air. And the BBC says that would be a big deal. It would actually be the first time in 45 years that shots were fired at the border. There was an agreement in 1996, actually, that prohibits the use of guns and explosives near the border. And yet there was a dust-up that left 24 people dead.
What, they just throw rocks at each other?
It was actually sticks. It was sticks. They didn't throw them at each other. It was sticks and something else. I can't remember what. It would be ironic if it were sticks and stones. But yeah, it's actually in that BBC article that I sent you, but I don't have that part right in front of me.
Okay.
Anyway, the BBC thing concludes saying simmering tensions involve the risk of escalation, and that could be devastating given both sides are established nuclear powers. There would also be economic fallout as China is one of India's biggest trading partners. So let's put half our eggs in China and the other half our eggs in India.
When they're fighting over a line running along rivers and lakes and
mountains,
snow caps.
Here's the thing. I know I don't know anything about any of this. I mean, I'm not bragging about the fact that my knowledge comes from a 400-word article. I'm saying when I look at that one sentence in Bloomberg and then I read that piece from the BBC, I'm not as excited about the fact that, we're pinning our hopes on manufacturing in India at this point.
Right, right. Because if tension gets bad again, what's to stop India from shutting down these Chinese plants?
Right. Or what's to stop China from, calling its people home?
That too.
According to Bloomberg, Apple and other U.S. electronics brands are seeking to reduce their reliance on China after trade restrictions and COVID-related production disruptions laid bare the risks of too much concentration in one country. The clearances signal that India is allowing more Chinese companies in to build out its tech manufacturing sector, even as political tensions between the Asian neighbors have intensified.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the whole idea, right, remind me, the whole idea of opening up trade relations with China was to create a middle class, to create a bit of interdependency. I mean, to basically sort of change the dynamics there, right, by introducing more industry, by introducing more commerce. Am I correct in that?
That sounds right.
All right. So I guess maybe the hope is, I don't know what the hope is. I mean, maybe the thinking is, they got a billion people, they will be able to put together the kind of operation to put things together that China had. They've got the drive for it, or the hunger for it, maybe, because, yeah. I mean, that did stand China in good stead. But it feels like we're just going to meet here in 5 years and have all of these discussions again.
And we very well might. I'm not an expert in international business or anything like that, but it doesn't sound like a real great idea to me.
If we've got, well, I mean, it may be the best idea that we have, honestly.
It might be. Yeah.
If we do have any people who know more about this than we do, because I'm not standing here saying I've got an idea. I mean, what I've got is a question mark over my head. There are things now that kind of concern me, especially the part where what everybody keeps saying is Apple is going to reduce its dependency on China by moving more manufacturing to India and other places too. I mean, there's certainly there's manufacturing growing in Vietnam on Apple's behalf and other places as well. But India seems to be where people are pinning most of their hopes as far as, you know, diversification of the supply chain. But if the supply chain still relies on China, even if it runs through India, like I say, that leaves a question mark over my head. If somebody knows more about it than I do, and trust me, almost anybody does, observations@macobserver.com would be the place to go. Observations@macobserver.com. Send us an email and clue me in. because right now I'm just not, I don't know. Hey, coming up in just a moment, Jeff is going to talk to us about the sensors inside the old HomePod Mini and the brand new big HomePod. What can you do with those? Jeff has ideas. First, though, a word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. I am not a New Year's resolution person, though I do find certain behaviors changing at the start of the new year. It's natural. If saving money is one of your goals for 2023, say hello to Rocket Money, a better way to handle your finances in the new year. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as pressing a button. Simply find the subscription you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service. No more tedious emailing back and forth. Save yourself that hassle and save yourself the money. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. That's rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. rocketmoney.com/MacObserver. Jeff Butts is with us today. He is the managing editor of the Mac Observer online at macobserver.com. Big new HomePod announced yesterday. Wednesday. A couple of days ago, as people hear this. Are you a HomePod guy?
I am. I've got 3 HomePod minis scattered around the house.
Okay. Any of the big HomePods?
I do not, no.
Okay. Are you thinking about getting a big HomePod?
Probably not. That may change.
That means you're getting one in 2 months.
Hush.
All right. So you're not getting one. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. But you have written up a piece for TMO, actually a how-to on using the HomePod's temperature and humidity sensors. What's neat is, even though you're not getting a new HomePod, you get to play with this because these things have been in the HomePod Mini.
Yeah, you know, we pretty much overnight, we got new features in our HomePod Minis because these temperature and humidity sensors have been there all along, but they weren't enabled.
Right.
And now I do have to preface this by saying that, you know, don't, if you're listening to this today, don't look for it to work right this minute. I'm running the release candidate for 16.3. Mm-hmm. That's where it's going to get turned on for the rest of you. So Monday or Tuesday, when 16.3, iOS 16.3, HomePod software 16.3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, these sensors will be activated, and you'll be able to, using your HomePod Mini, you'll be able to find out what the temperature is in your whatever room that HomePod is in. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to set up automation so that you can run your smart home gadgets based on temperature or humidity.
Right.
It's definitely, you know, I'd been thinking about going back to my old tinkering days and building another temperature sensor like I had years ago when I was still in Ohio. I built it on Arduino. Mm-hmm. And it would communicate to my phone, tell me what the temperature was, what the humidity was, blah, blah, blah. And now I don't have to do that because it's already here. I can just say to the air, hey, S lady, what's the temperature in the office? And she'll tell me. And like I said, I can do an automation. So, for example, let's say you've got a fan that you want to turn on if it gets above a certain temperature in your room. Mm-hmm. You plug that fan into a smart plug, link it all up with HomeKit, and then you set up the automation so that whenever the temperature according to the HomePod, goes above a certain threshold, it turns on that outlet, thereby turning on the fan. You can also integrate this with your smart thermostat if you have one. If you've got a humidifier plugged into a smart plug, you could do that as well.
Let me ask you a question really quickly that's adjacent to the topic that we have. Mm-hmm. You just said, you know, you could set it up with your HomeKit, or I think you said HomeKit. Yeah. Is Matter supposed to replace what's already there, or does Matter run in tandem with what Apple's already got?
Matter will run in tandem.
Okay.
What Matter is going to do for Apple users is open the door for more devices that haven't paid the licensing fees or whatever to Apple to be HomeKit certified.
Which, of course, is, I don't want to say it's problematic, but the problem there is everything that was HomeKit certified, you sort of trusted had a certain security level. There was some article I was reading and talked about on the checklist by SecureMac a few months back now that was just like, if it works with Matter and Apple works with Matter, does that mean the Matter thing is secure? And the answer was, only as secure as that company is. It doesn't have the same sort of level of oversight from Apple. What Apple is doing is just saying, well, yeah, it'll work.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to is, you know, this is for people that don't necessarily want to have the level of security that HomeKit certification offers.
Yeah, that's probably not how they're going to sell it.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's for people who want it to, as Apple says, you know, just work.
The other benefit to Matter, though, is that, you know, now you can have a mixed environment.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, you know, if you've got Amazon devices alongside your Apple devices, they can now all work together as long as everything is Matter compatible to run your smart home.
Now, your article for TMO actually has step-by-step on how to set up these automations. Do you want to go through those steps here, or do you just want to tell people how to find it?
You know what? The best thing is just to go to the article and read it there, because I provide you with some screenshots, too, so that you can see what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's not just a tease. It's just we actually had the steps written out, and it was like, well, who's going to write those down and even remember, honestly?
Yeah, it's just going to be easier to look at it on the site, and you know, that's what we're aiming to do is provide more practical thoughts on how to use your Apple equipment. You know, so as soon as this came out, I immediately started working on, you know, okay, how do you make the most of this? And, you know, I don't just go into how to set up the automation, but also how you can just quickly look at your phone or speak into the empty air and find out what the, you know, what your climate conditions are inside your house.
Now, this is a question that I actually had. I actually asked Nick DeCorville yesterday, and I will ask you today. How cool is it that there are secret sensors hanging out in the stuff that Apple sells us? And I'll give you three choices. Is it cool? Is it creepy? Or is it case by case?
Well, you know, in this case, we knew they were there.
Not when they sold it to us.
Not when they sold it to us. No, no. And not in the announcement.
Right.
It's cool and creepy. The fact that we had to find out after somebody tore one of these apart and looked at what chips were inside it, that's kind of creepy.
Okay.
You know, let me know what type of sensors you are putting in these devices before you have me put it in my living room or in my bedroom.
Yeah.
But, you know, I knew when I got mine that they were there because I was not an early adopter on these.
Gotcha. It's also kind of hard to argue, though, that, you know, it's creepy because we're buying a thing that has a microphone that's sitting there all the time listening for its name and who knows what else. I mean, if we're going to draw the line at, but you can't know the humidity.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are going to pick that apart.
Hey, if you have a question or comment that you want to send our way, we would certainly love to hear from you. Our email address is observations@macobserver.com. Observations@macobserver.com. We're still giving out the Twitter address, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, then you can hit us up on Twitter @TMO Daily. If you want to follow me online, the best thing to do is go to my website, macosken.com. And please leave comments about either the observation deck, which is the column, I guess, that I do Monday through Friday on the Mac Observer, or on the Daily Observations podcast, both of which you can find, obviously, at macobserver.com. Jeff, if people want to keep up with you, what is the best way or ways to do so?
Current events notwithstanding, I haven't shut Twitter down yet. So you can find me on Twitter as at Clefmeister, or I run the at MacObserver Twitter account. You can also read my writing on MacObserver.com, or you can email me at jeffb@MacObserver.com.
Advertising handle by Backbeat Media, online at BackbeatMedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple News is MacObserver.com.